And especially before a study. So again, I'm thankful to be with you again tonight. And I tell you, time swiftly gets by from us. We have tonight and one more Wednesday. It feels like we ought to have more. But we just have tonight. We'll finish this handout that I put together for you on some religious error concerning the Bible. And then we'll do maybe a point or two on a different topic, Lord willing, next Wednesday. And I hope that you've enjoyed this sheet, and I certainly appreciate your participation and hearing from you and listening. And you know, a lot of the references that you give along the way are references that I have on my sheet. But several of you have brought up references that I didn't include on mine. And so when I hear those, it's an opportunity for me to learn, and maybe I have some that you didn't think of, and we learn from one another. So I appreciate your participation. Tonight we're going to do number 5 and number 6, and it'll probably take the entire time to do this. If not, we'll talk about something else if we get through these. But I put as number 5 the idea that the Bible really cannot be understood. And as I thought about this, a couple of things came to mind. Is that sometimes individuals think, well, we just simply cannot understand the Bible, that it is so technical, it is so difficult, that there's no way that, one, we can understand it. But there are religious groups who believe that unless you've got some special anointing or some divine calling, they may call it, from God, there's no way that really you can understand it. You know, Roman Catholicism, for a long time, it really discouraged the members from reading the Bible because you were not a priest. It was not given to you to really understand the Bible. And you had to be told what the Bible says because you're really incapable of coming to that understanding on your own. And that's either the case or it's not the case. And if we believe that the Bible can be understood, then I hope that from the Bible we can show individuals. And not only can it be understood, but that God expects us to understand it and to know it and obey it. So, as all the other religious errors that we've talked about, I'm interested to know what you put on your sheet. Did everyone get it filled out? Good. Good for you. You'll be the better Bible student for taking the time to do that. I assure you that. Well, what did you put on it? How would you refute that? Someone comes up to you, or maybe you're trying to engage them in a Bible study, and you say, listen, the Bible is our standard. We've already talked about the fact that the Bible is our sole standard of authority. They say, now wait a minute, we are just not able really to understand what's in the Bible. Where might you point them to?
Ephesians
3.
Okay.
Verses
1 through 10.
What
I put.
Ephesians 3, did you say 1 through 10?
Uh-huh.
And how would you use that, Cheryl?
Well, it says you can't understand, the Bible cannot be understood, but when you read what Paul says, it says, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets.
Good. Excellent. That's a very good passage to use. Again, to show that Paul penned those things, and he's writing to Christians. Chapter 1 talks about it. He wrote those things, and he received them how?
By revelation.
But he wrote those things to the recipients of that letter to the Church of Christ at Ephesus, and he says not that they were going to receive it by revelation, but again, when you read, then you may understand. So you cannot come to an understanding, except you read what was penned, and of course Paul got it by revelation of the Holy Spirit. So yes, it's understandable. Very good passage. Did anyone else get that on their sheet? That's one that you really need. It is so simple to see that using that passage. What else did you get on your sheet?
Luke 24:45.
Okay. How would you use that?
Their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures.
Well, surely they were in a position then to be able to understand then, right? And that doesn't mean, as we'll talk about in just a moment, that everything in the Bible is easily understood. Well, there's times I read things and I think to myself, this is so confusing. I have no idea what he's talking about. But that doesn't mean that it's impossible to be understood. The shortage of knowledge would be on my end of the stick, not on God's. It's an indicator that I need to study more. I need to read it and to study it. And we'll come to that understanding when we study the Word of God.
We sometimes read, this is not the verse, but we sometimes read too much into what's said and make some things even harder than really what it is, just by people around us that influence us, media and so forth.
That's a good point, Belvis, and we'll touch on that if we have time in number 6 as we talk about personal interpretation of the Bible. What else did you get? So I have Ephesians 3:1-10, Luke 24:45.
In Acts 4, when Peter and John were arrested and they were defending themselves, that they, you know, had been sent to preach. And verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus."
And what was the verse? You said chapter 4, what was the verse on that?
13 is where that is, but you need to start back probably about 7 or 8 probably.
So they were able to understand a message that was obviously taught to them. What else?
Colossians 1:9-10.
Judy, how might that be used?
"For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to know that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God."
Good. Filled with knowledge and increasing in knowledge. And as you said, I thought about 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
Also in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, 14-17.
Did you say 1 Timothy?
2 Timothy. "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." And he's talking about Hymenaeus and Philetus, how their words are like cancer.
Who else? You know, there's as the saying may go, there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one approach to probably answering a lot of things that we're going to be confronted with. You know, one of the most simple ways to deal with religious error is just using very simple passages that either have a statement or make a direct statement regarding exactly what you're talking about. There's some references that maybe we can give, and I'm not saying that any of these fit that bill, but I'm just giving you a little word of caution on. There's some references that we may give that to us because we know what the Bible says on maybe that given topic. We know that in one way or another that particular passage deals in some way with that topic. But really it's not a direct refute of that religious error. For example, when we're trying to make the argument that Baptism in the New Testament is always an immersion. Someone may say, well, give me a passage. And you may say Acts 2.38. Well, Acts 2.38 is not going to make the point that it is an immersion. We know that it is, but that's not a passage you would use, though it's talking about baptism. And so if you're trying to get that point across to someone, try to think about a passage or a verse in the Bible that really gives a direct refute to what they're saying. So if you, just for example, say a conversation, you're talking about baptism being a burial, what would be a good passage that would show that?
Romans 6 chapter, yeah.
Yeah, good job. Romans chapter 6, been planted in the likeness of his death and so forth. Colossians 2:12, being buried with Christ by baptism. Those really deal a death blow to the false teaching that it's by sprinkling or pouring. So,
chapter of Acts.
Say it again.
Acts chapter.
Good. Good. Acts 8. What's found in Acts 8, Junior? Yeah, it went down into the water. Those passages like that show without a doubt. So it makes it more difficult for the person you're talking to then come back and say, well, that really doesn't talk about that. How do you get around that? And some of these others that you may give, Mark 16:16, and a host of other passages that deal with baptism, that it's a command, Acts 10:48, so on, deal with that topic, but really doesn't establish that it is by an immersion. And so, unless you just talk about the very word itself, which is always an immersion. So just think about that as you're going through here. When someone says the Bible cannot be understood, and then you give them a passage like Acts 3, 1 through 10, that Paul is writing to people just like you and me, and he says when you read it, you can understand it. Or some of these others that we've talked about. To me, those are the best ones to use because they're so simple that you have to accept or reject the statement that verse is saying. What else did you get for the Bible cannot be understood?
Paul talks about Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15, for a child he had known the Holy Scriptures.
Yeah. That's another good passage. So simple, but here's a man telling a gospel preacher, from child you've known them, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The thing about verses that, again, so very simple verses that you and I know so well, John 8:32. What did the Lord say? Ye shall
know.
Can I know it then? Could they know it? Someone says, well, he's not talking to you. No, I wasn't there in person. But he's telling them, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32.
We must worship in spirit and in truth.
Right. Yeah. That'd be a good passage showing how to establish then that truth. 4:24, good. Think about another one that I have on my sheet. Again, comes from Ephesians 5, and in verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, he's writing to Christians, and he's telling them, don't be unwise, but understand. Well, then can I understand what the Scriptures say? About, as Junior brought up a good point about the eunuch a moment ago in Acts 8, 27 through 40, here was a man who, notice the strength of this when you use this passage. Here was a man that was reading the Scriptures, but did he understand the Scriptures?
No.
Someone may say, well, Rose, there you go. Here's an example of someone, he was reading it, but he was incapable of understanding it. Now, how can we show that he was not incapable of understanding? He didn't understand it at the time. Go ahead, Bills.
Or
Jude? Good. That's so simple, you can't get around that. He said, is the prophet talking about himself or of some other man? He didn't know that. And Philip even asked him, do you understand what you're reading? How can I accept some man should guide me? He just needed help. But he wasn't incapable because Philip taught him, and then he came to a knowledge of the truth. He understood it and obeyed the truth. So he wasn't incapable of understanding the Scripture. Go ahead.
You know, back in Solomon's day, in Proverbs 4:5, it said, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth.
Good.
So it even started before then.
Yeah. You think about it. All those passages in the Bible that deal with it. In verse 7, you go drop down just a couple of verses. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy understanding. With all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is a principal thing. Get it. And then with all thy getting or with all thy might, get understanding. So, obviously, we've got to be capable to understand the Scriptures and a lot of other passages. Luke 1:1-4, when Luke gives a purpose of why he's writing, that thou mightest know the certainty of the things wherein thou hast been instructed. I want you to know it. A lot of other passages. Then you can talk about not only deal with all those references that specifically talk about the fact that yes, we can know it. Then you've got all the ammunition that you can use about the fact that we're going to be judged by it. Now, what sense would it make to say, here's a word, you cannot understand it, but by the way, I'm going to hold you accountable for it come the judgment day. Now, nobody who knows anything about God would say, well, that's the kind of God that we serve, but those references, many references talk about that, John 12:48, and Romans 2:16, and Revelation 20:12-15, talk about the books being opened, the devil judged according to those things written in the books.
He also said things would have been hard to understand too.
Yeah, but not difficult. There are some hard things, many hard things, to me, in the Bible to understand, but not impossible to understand. It's like maybe some of the things we've been talking about this quarter. You may have looked at it and said, you know, that's just hard for me to understand. But then you listen to the person beside you, in front of you, or behind you, and you say, well, now I understand. I see that now because you listened to it. What someone knew about that, and it was a big help to us. Any other thoughts about number 5? 1 John, by the way, before we move on, is a good book to think about that, because many times John talks about in 1 John specifically about keeping his commandments. Now, how in the world can you keep and walk by and walk in the light, keep his commandments, walk by, if you can't even understand it? It'd be impossible to walk according to some rule, Philippians 3:16, if you were incapable, if you didn't understand what that rule was.
A lot of the discrepancies are actually what's not in the Bible is what people get hung up about. So if you can just focus people on what's in the Bible, then you'll still have some problems here and there, but it'll be less.
Right. That's right. Before anyone have anything you want to add to this, maybe you got a different reference, share it. It's a big help to all of us. And you may give a reference, and I may say, how in the world does that relate to it? But if I just listen to what you say, listen to what you know about that, I've learned something. I'm not the only one able to learn anything else, right? I don't know what I do. You? Alright. You know, you could include on this the fact that, well, yeah, we can understand it, but we just cannot understand it alike. We talk about that for a minute, but how would you refute that? Oh, you can understand it, and I can understand. We can come to an understanding, but it's not going to be alike. We're still going to have discrepancies among us and disagreements about it.
Based on your interpretation.
And that gets us to the next one. Does God expect... There's no way that you can be in unity if you don't believe the same thing on a passage. Can you?
No.
No, that's the vision of saying. It's only, well, it doesn't matter. Well, then it wouldn't matter on any of it. So you may believe that Jesus really came in the flesh, but I don't really believe that just for sake of conversation. I do believe that. But for sake of conversation, if you say, well, no, that really does matter. Well, who gave me the authority to decide what does and doesn't matter? There are people in the first century, John addressed this notion of fighting against what was prevalent in the first century. Folks who believed that Jesus came, but he really wasn't divine. He really didn't come in the flesh, was another division of them. And so, yes, we can understand the Bible alike. And there are a lot of passages where we may read it and you may say, well, you know, it's to be really interpreted in this way. And someone else may say, well, it's really interpreted in this way. We just got to keep studying. Keep studying. The point I want you to see is that the Bible can be understood. And then we come to number six. And this has to do with interpretation of the Bible. For lack of a better way to say it, it's in English. I was reared up speaking English. I bust a few nouns and pop a few verbs every now and then, get it not grammatically correct. But still, you understand English and I do too. And it's been rendered in our native tongue. But still someone may say, you know what, the Bible is subject to each man's interpretation and one is as good as another. Kind of goes back to what I just told you about, understand the Bible a lot. Well, number one, it has been interpreted, right? It's in English. But there are some very basic Bible rules that we have to follow, and all of us can understand that. You know, anytime you read anything, whether it's in English or whatever language you want to read it in, or capable to read it in, you've got to follow some very basic rules. And that applies to what the Bible teaches. And so many times we're readily willing to accept that when it comes to every area of study because it's a reasonable thing to do. But then when it comes to the Bible, we just open up the window and throw it out. Don't we? Many times, generally speaking. I mean, suppose we've got some college students here, high school students and middle school. But suppose you opened up your science book and you were going to take an exam on that. The teacher says at the end of next week we're going to have an exam over chapter 1. So you prepare about it and you read about it and you define the words, you know what they mean, and you think about the principles, you understand it, you know what's in that chapter. But then you take the test and maybe some true and false on there or matching or whatever, and you get it wrong. Teacher marks it wrong. But then you argue with the teacher and say, that's not my interpretation of it. What's the chances your teacher will give you credit for that? Little to none. Or maybe some math problem. Ethan likes stumping me with math problems. But suppose I say, but that's just the way that I thought that it was. It's surely the answer I thought I would arrive at. It doesn't matter. Well, I thought that's not the answer. And when we come to the Bible, we've got to take what the Bible says and study what the Bible says. So we talk about some very basic rules. So we'll get to that in a minute. But what did you put on your sheet about, well, it really just cannot be understood the same way. We're each subject to our own interpretation of what the Bible says.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 10, although we can understand it a lot, but even by Paul pleading to them in the first century, it's not easy sometimes.
Why did Christ pray for unity? John 17, 20 through 23.
They were able to be unified, right? It really does go. I think it's a valid point that Belvis made earlier about so many times it's over what the Bible doesn't say. Because when you have something that's in print, here it is, black and white, it's very difficult to really go against what that's saying. I may not understand all the ins and outs about that particular passage, but it's hard to argue with what it's saying. I think about, for example, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what goes in the next blank? God. God created the heaven and the earth. Well, I may say, well, I really, God that did that, it was really evolution. He just kind of kick-started the process and handed it over to evolution to take over and to finish the process. But there's no argument with what that verse says. And the book of Exodus, chapter 20, when the Bible says, for in 6 days the Lord God created heaven and earth. Now, I may not like that. It may not sit well with what I believe, but there's no getting around the fact that the Bible says, for in 6 days, not 6 million, not 6 billion, but in 6 days, the Lord God created.
The days wasn't the same amount of time as we have now, as our days are.
And that's saying that. And it's odd that those eons of time were marked by an evening and a morning. Recently, once read an article that a man wrote about the days of creation, how that it cannot be taken literally. And after he makes the entire argument about they're not to be taken literally, he says at the end of it, well, you can, but it's not the best interpretation. 6 days. But what else did you put? 1 Corinthians 1:10, John 17:20-23. A passage we just read, I know that it's re-emphasized, but Ephesians 2:3-5 and Ephesians 5:17 that we've already talked about, but still here was Paul writing to these Christians, and that's chapter 3, writing to these Christians, and they were different people. I don't know what all their background was, but it was wrote to the Christians, and yet he's telling all of them, when you read what I wrote, you can understand it. Understand it alike, or subject to each man's interpretation of it. See, you've got to be careful about with interpretation. If you're not careful, you'll let everything that you have heard and all your experiences down through time influence the lens that you're looking at when you're reading that particular passage. You don't want to read a passage with bias and say, well, I already know the answer to the topic that I'm studying, so everything I read must fit into what I already believe. That's so why I caution against reading commentaries and so forth before you do your study. Do your study first and then go and look at maybe some good commentaries to see maybe if there's something that you overlooked or left out. But once you get that in your mind, guess what? It can be difficult to really see past that and see what the truth is. What are some basic rules that you have to follow when you're studying the Bible? When we think about rules of interpretation, probably, and there probably is a better way to say that, but if you think about some better rules of Bible study, what do we often talk about?
Scripture can't contradict other Scripture.
Yeah, good. What about some of these rules? And just for a second, I'll write all that out. I'm just part of the harmony of the Scripture. They harmonize, right? One doesn't go against what another one does. Once you establish a Bible truth that is true in every passage that you read about it. For example, once you establish that baptism is by immersion, or just say for forgiveness of sins, for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Every time you read that individuals in the New Testament passage were baptized, guess what? It was always for the remission of sins. You've established that truth. What else?
Context.
Good. Why does that matter? And under context, Sanders, what could you include under that? What do you got to pay attention to in the context?
Who he's talking to.
Yeah. Who's doing
talking and who's doing the talking.
Who's doing the talking? What else?
The logo, the setting.
Yeah. The situation or the setting. A lot of things. It is true what the Bible says to me, it says to you.
Who it's written to, Christians or sinners.
Yeah, who to? and so forth.
Good.
Well, it is true that what it says to you, it says to me. I had the Bible, you had the Bible, but you got to notice the context. I really like when a good friend of mine would talk about this very point, and some of these other brethren had the opportunity to sit at his feet. He would always use the example of, you know, if I just opened up my Bible and I just said, you know, I'm going to study and obey today, and I just let it fall open. And if it falls open to Genesis chapter 6, what might I find myself doing? Building an ark. Did you get yours done, Ray? Did you finish it? I didn't either. Because he didn't say it to you. Did I catch you off guard? But he wasn't talking to Ray. He wasn't talking to me. And so you may let it fall open. So I'm just going to read and obey. And it falls open to Deuteronomy 16. What might you find yourself doing? Well, the ark's already fulfilled its purpose. But after that, you might be saying, I've got to get to Lakeston, Bluegrass Airport, and board a plane. I've got to go to Jerusalem. 3 times a year, all the males have to go to Jerusalem to present themselves before the Lord. Mark, did you recently get back? That's not where you were at Sunday. I'm glad you're feeling better. But what we understand, the Lord wasn't talking to me. He was talking to the Jewish men. And you could just use all kinds of examples for that. And just show individuals the absurdity of saying, you know, wherever I read, that's what I'm going to do. Well, it is true, it's inspired, but folks, we've got to notice the context and observe those very basic Bible rules, which I know we've had an entire class, really a series on studying the Bible together. But we've got to do that if we're going to arrive at the proper meaning. Someone said earlier about reading into the passage. We've got the responsibility to lead out of a passage only what is there. That's it. The problem is we read into a passage many times what's not there. So be careful about doing that. Anything you want to add to that? Number 6. Any references you thought about?
Just whether it's in the New Testament or Old Testament is one big thing. I mean, a lot of people try to skip about some things in the Old Testament.
Good. Again, it's noticing the context. Both the immediate, what is immediately surrounding it, what those few verses said above it, and what came after it, and then the extended or the remote context, what did another book say about that same topic, a Bible book? What did another Bible writer say about that same topic? Any other thoughts? Our time has come and gone. I appreciate your good attention. It's really encouraging to me, and I trust one another. And next week, we'll have another few religious errors that I'll have ready for you, Lord willing, on Sunday. Be sure to look for those and pick those up, and we'll end our quarter of study next week. Thank you for your good attention.